You're listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by the National Retail Federation. Join us for a look inside the world's largest and most interesting industry. And now your host, Bill Thorne.
Welcome to another episode of Retail Gets Real, where we talk about an industry that impacts everyone, every day, everywhere. I'm Bill Thorne, and today we're going to have a great program, but I'm going to turn over the hosting mic to the very capable, very competent, and very good friend of mine, Katie McBrady. Take it away, Katie.
Thanks, Bill. Friend, yes. Capable and competent, we'll see. I'm joined today by my friend, fellow mom, and colleague, Jen Overstreet. Excited to have you joining us, Jen.
Good to be here, Katie.
And we are also joined by Ben Weiss, who is Senior Product Manager for Mobile at Walgreens. Welcome, Ben.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Let's get this rolling. This is Ben's first podcast, so we're super pumped about that. Ben, tell us a little bit about your role at Walgreens. What do you do?
So I lead really the strategy and product management for the mobile applications we do at Walgreens, largely the Walgreens app, but also all the sort of the touch points and integrations that we have with Apple. So whether it's Apple Pay in our retail stores and all the great things we do in partnership with them.
What do most people use your app for?
So it's, you know, in a lot of ways, Walgreens is sort of three businesses packed into one. You know, the core of it is very much pharmacy. So people are coming to refill their prescriptions, they're coming to check on the status of a prescription, all of the things that sort of are centered around their healthcare and the way they interact with us as a pharmacy. That's first and foremost. But, you know, we also have a very massive photo business that is very large through the application. People use their phones as their camera today. I mean, that's no surprise, we're all doing it, right? But we've made it really simple for people to take those images once they're on their phone, get them printed through the Walgreens app, get the photos in under an hour at the local store near them. And it's not just prints, you know, we can do canvas prints, all kinds of really great products that people can produce very quickly and easily from their favorite camera.
Jenna and I never take photos of our daughters, ever.
We spend a lot of time showing each other the video of the thing our baby did the night before.
We need to go to Walgreens and get them printed.
That business is more than 80%, you know, female, and that's exactly who that customer is and who we try to, you know, think about when we're designing.
That's so neat. When we were researching for doing this interview with you, we read that 20% of the Walgreens app users are 55 or older.
Yeah, we definitely skew a little bit older than most, you know, in this area. And it creates some unique sort of needs that we have to design for. We bring in older Americans all the time in our user testing lab to really see how they work with the mobile device, because it's a little bit different than who you are typically thinking about as your end user, right? So everything from the way that we, you know, our typography, the padding and spacing around elements, the size of buttons, all those details really matter a little bit more, and you have to put a little more care and detail into your designs when you're dealing with that demographic, because it has to be really obvious and simple for them. And, you know, the honest truth is that if it works great for them, it actually works just fine for everybody else too.
What's the most interesting or sort of candid piece of feedback you've ever gotten from your users that has impacted the way that the app works? Or have you made a big change because you sort of have this aha moment of, oh, they hate this piece or they love this?
There's a lot. So one of my favorite, you know, research activities that we've ever done was when we were designing our pill reminder experience, which is a really powerful part of the Walgreens app. It allows customers to put in their medications, tell us when they need to take them so that we can remind them. We have a great notifications experience within there. So ultimately, you're reminded, you 3D touch on the notification, it brings up and it shows you the pills that we actually dispense for you so you can know which ones to take, how many to take, mark it as taken, skip, snooze, whatever you need to do in that moment. It's really, you know, we boiled down a really complex thing for customers to do in about 2 or 3 seconds. When we were designing that experience, we did a research activity where we actually brought in, you know, a lot of really, well, both caregivers and then their patients into the lab at the same time to really, you know, ask them questions to understand how the caregivers work with the patients and how the patients work with the caregivers. And we just, it was a really honest, really visceral moment to really see the complexities and the challenges of how people do this, especially when there's maybe large physical distances where the caregiver and the patient are, you know, sometimes hundreds of miles apart. And we saw this as a real important need that we needed to help take care of for people, because caregivers, you know, they want to give, you know, their patients a lot of freedom and flexibility, but they need to have the assurance and the trust that they can take their medications on time. So there's really a powerful thing that we're able to build there and make, you know, essential for these people in their lives.
So by that, do you mean that it's the caregivers who may not be with the patient or the customer that is actually using the app on their behalf?
Yeah, and we want to continue to invest more to make that easier for caregivers and patients. But a lot of it was, you know, a caregiver can set this up for their patient and then know that the patient has that tools and that technology in their hand throughout the day so that they're getting reminded, they're taking their medications on the right schedule, and they can, you know, they can live a normal life. They don't have to sort of, you know, call in every couple hours to make sure that someone's doing the right thing.
No, I feel like if I had your job, like my mom and my grandma would be calling me all the time telling me, oh, you need to add this to the app, or I need to do this. Do you get that a lot?
We always try to reach out to our customers. I mean, that's one of the things in digital. It's difficult to have that direct relationship with the customer because you don't see them every single day. But we have a lot of different feedback channels, you know, via the App Store, of course, which is an obvious one. But then also, you know, we're constantly surveying at random people throughout the app experience. And we have feedback channels too. You know, we're listening always on social media for, you know, suggestions and tips. And people talk to us all the time there. We have a beta program too, where before the app is actually going out to millions of customers, every time we release, we're beta testing with hundreds of testers, including people internally to our company, but then also some customers that are in there as well that give us some really outstanding feedback about what's working quite, you know, like perfectly for them and other things that there needs to be some changes. And we're listening to that and we're making changes all the time to make sure that it's working great for everyone.
Obviously, sort of with the a large piece of the demographic that you cater to, there's some technology challenges. But when it comes to mobile, what are some of the challenges that you're facing and how are you solving for some of those challenges?
I mean, we see mobile largely as a tool to reduce challenges. So the challenges don't just come typically on mobile. Mobile, more often than not, provides us with great solutions to problems that exist, you know, and friction that exists just maybe in the store experience, for example. So, you know, we're always looking at how can we use things like Apple Wallet, for example, to make coupons just an easier process. So you don't have to carry around all this paper and, you know, stand in the front of the line, hold everybody up, and you're sitting there going one by one through these things. But now it's just as simple as waving your phone over the pin pad. It'll automatically pull up your balance rewards card. As soon as your balance rewards information is transmitted to the pin pad, we're immediately looking through all of the coupons that you have clipped digitally within the app, applying those in near real time. And then as soon as, you know, the transaction's done, all the points that you just earned on there, you're going to get a notification on your phone. You see your points have changed. You might get a notification that you hit the next rewards threshold. All of that technology there helps to reduce a lot of the friction where you normally would have had to ask a question before or deal with paper in a very slow process. So, yeah, we really just think of these as tools to eliminate friction. We're just constantly trying to find where is there additional friction that we can solve with mobile.
You know, a lot of the when we talk to retailers, they have this phrase, mobile first, mobile first, mobile first. And I always think, well, that's great, but that's kind of rough for the mobile guy. You're the mobile guy.
Yeah. You're first.
Well, yeah. The way
how
we think,
do you? Yeah. How do yeah. you prioritize stuff when mobile is so important to retailers these days?
Mobile first to us just means, you know, literally whenever you say the word digital or you think about an experience that you're going to create in software, that in your head you have this image of a mobile device. Too often, I think a lot of brands, and you know, even we've had to make this transition internally too. We always thought of a laptop. We thought of the desktop as that image of the computer. But when we say the word computer now, we really strive and get everybody thinking mobile. That's what I'm thinking about first. Those other things are still important. But when you really solve for mobile, you know, it really forces you to think about the task at hand in a way that doesn't allow for other distractions just because you're constrained by, you know, screen size and input methods and all these other, you know, really just native intrinsic things about the mobile device. But, you know, I guess, to the other point there, so how do we prioritize? It really, it's a tough thing because there's a lot that you can always build. It's a good thing. It's actually probably the most interesting and exciting thing about mobile for us. But it really comes down to really knowing who you are as a brand first. So for us, it's all about trust. And it's about, you know, providing convenient care and access for our customers. And if we can, you know, find things that really build on the brand, that are right for the brand, those are the winning mobile experiences for us. And those are the ones that we're going to try to prioritize ahead of other opportunities that may come.
You've been with Walgreens for 9 years, which in the technology world, it's like eons. What sort of digital evolution have you witnessed during your tenure at Walgreens?
Yeah, that's a good question. I actually started as an intern with Walgreens back in college, and this was right around the time of the first iPhone coming out, and I could kind of see that, you know, this was eventually going to become a platform. It wasn't at the time. You couldn't even do third-party apps at that moment, but there was an intern case study competition that the company held, And they, you know, challenged us with a number of different sort of missions or, you know, areas of focus. And I really, you know, worked with a team to produce the vision for what is the Walgreens app today. We made that pitch. We actually won the competition. We got to have lunch with the CEO. At that time, they had just brought in a new chief digital officer, a mentor and someone that I trust dearly, Sona Chawla. And I got to present to her and, you know, she basically said, we would like you to join this team. So that was my entry into Walgreens. And, you know, this many years later here, I'm sort of leading the vision and strategy for the mobile app as it is, you know, and it has evolved tremendously over the years. We've done a lot with it.
Did you know you were going to go into retail, or was this sort of just happenstance? Was you winning that competition what set you on your path?
In some ways, I think it probably did. I wasn't totally sure what I wanted to do. All the way back in college, you know, there was no degree for product management. and I think every product manager has a unique and different kind of background. It'll be interesting to see as it matures as a discipline, if it will start to, you know, become something that people study in academia. I know a lot of people certainly go to business school today hoping to come out to become a product manager. And it hits on a lot of different business disciplines, but also technology ones.
What I love about retail is, you know, we talk about how it sort of is one of those amazing places where you can start as an intern and you can be a product manager. You can sort of work your way up. What are the different jobs you've had along the way and how have those jobs evolved as technology has evolved?
Yeah, and I've kind of had almost really three careers within retail. First, starting on the analytics side was actually what I spent for the first 3 years of my career. And, you know, that gave me a good background that I continue to apply as a product manager, having really a data-driven decision-making process as to what we're going to do and how we're going to prioritize work. But also spent a lot of time in strategy. And yeah, retail really touches on every part of the economy. Everything is, you know, it's sold in some way to consumers and a lot, and all the tangible goods obviously are considered sort of retail. But yeah, there's so many different angles that somebody can come into retail and, you know, specialize in a whole range of topics that you wouldn't normally think of as retail. And technology, of course, is a huge one.
When you think about the future of mobile at Walgreens, what is it?
You know, I think it's still, I keep telling the team this too, it's still very much early days for mobile, even though we're sort of like 10 years in now. But 10 years is not a lot of time in the business cycle. I think you only have to go back and look at, like, say, an iPhone 5 or an iPhone 5S today, or go back to it, even an iPhone 4. You'll be amazed at how slow and how incapable the device feels like. But that was such a magical device just a few years ago. That's going to continue. The rate of acceleration of the speed of the processors, the capabilities of the softwares and the platforms is just getting better and better. It happens so quickly, and we often just don't really have an appreciation for how that happens. But, you know, 10 years down the line here, mobile is just going to become even more a primary way of accessing everything that we do with a computer. And that's just going to continue to create all kinds of new opportunities. Just that even the sensors and all the great things that are being used now to perform things like augmented reality are just going to become, you know, they're early now, but they're going to become more native and more, you know, part of the platform and part of every software experience that we use on these things.
What do you do as a team to sort of step away from the day-to-day to help imagine, innovate, to that next step, to what the future that Jen is talking about?
Yeah, it's hard because you definitely get into sort of a daily grind, and we always have, we call it sort of our core team working on that next thing. But one of the other parts of my responsibility right now is to lead a team, we call it the POC team. And the sole mission of the POC team is to look at all of those new technologies, new APIs, everything coming to the forefront right now that may hold potential for us. And we try to experiment with it. We try to, you know, break it. We try to create something with it. And it's all about putting out a demo that really shows that we have understood what that technology is capable of so that we can talk about it with other stakeholders across the company. Usually we go and we show them how, you know, this might work for, you know, it could be something from supply chain. It could be something from merchants. It's a whole range of different technologies. And then we do little write-ups on them so that ultimately they can either feed into somebody else's roadmap that might actually turn into something within the next 6 months, or it may be something that we just say doesn't hold a lot of promise for our brand. It may be cool, but it's not the right investment for us.
When you make that decision, does that go back to those values that you talked about, the brand values, or How does that shake down?
Yeah, you know, it happens in a lot of different ways, but ultimately that's what it should tie back to. So we try to keep those, you know, in mind, particularly when we're coming up with the use cases, because the technology, these are all the tools. But what we're trying to achieve and we're trying to do, you know, whether it's something like refill reminders. So within the pharmacy, we like to predict when people are about to forget to refill a medication that they should probably be refilling and taking. So we get in front of them in different channels like text messaging, push notifications, and email. And, you know, fundamentally, we're just trying to make sure that they don't forget. We want to get that refill. That mission stays pretty constant, but the technology that underpins it, the way we make predictions about that, the way that people act on a refill reminder to actually kick off the refill process, those things are all built into the technology, which is always changing. And consumers' technology is changing and their expectations are changing. So every, you know, I like to say 18 to 24 months, we're constantly sort of reinventing the existing programs and processes that we've always been doing. It's the same mission, it's just different technology.
So you're kind of busy,
right? We definitely stay busy.
What's one misconception that people have about mobile retailing? I mean, I think people sort of have this, it's like, you probably get this at cocktail parties. Everybody has an iPhone, everybody shops, so clearly they know what you do.
Yeah.
Do you get that?
I think that for people that are not within the industry, that are not working in retail, there's often a misconception about the care and time and effort that it takes to create a great experience on a mobile device. Sometimes people think it's literally like one guy, I tell them that I do the Walgreens app and they go, oh, great. So you know how to code and design. No. We've got a very sizable team that of experts that, you know, and it's really my job to empower those experts and make sure that they are, you know, getting to do great work, that they are empowered at each step of the design phase to do everything and call the shots and make decisions. And that's how we end up with a great product in the end.
One of the things that I think is really fascinating about mobile and user experience is that sometimes a really small change can have a huge difference. Have you ever had an experience like that where you made a small change or a new feature or something small that made a major, major impact?
Yeah, definitely. All the time we're looking for those, you know, small tweaks that, you know, just have a high impact. Those are some of our favorite things. Within our paperless coupons program, there was a really good one where we really took this idea of optimistic design to heart, where, you know, in a traditional system, when you act on something, you would wait for the system to call back and say that, hey, we did it, and then you reflect that confirmation back to the user. With something like coupons, however, there's a lot of round trips to a lot of systems, and it can take literally seconds. So it used to be that when you would tap clip on a coupon, you would see a little spinner for about, you know, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 seconds. And then when the system says that it was successfully clipped, okay, it comes back, and now you can clip the next coupon. It's a slow process for the user. So we said, this system works, you know, 99.999% of the time. Why don't we just let the customer clip? We'll reflect that back that it's clipped before it's actually gone to the system. And in that way, allow people to clip a lot more coupons. We sort of batch them up and process them on the side. Now, if things go wrong, we do have a way of handling it, but more often than not, it's going to be right. And by doing that, we're able to dramatically increase the number of clips that people were doing and the engagement with that entire program.
That's very cool.
Unfortunately, we are almost out of time, but before we go, we always end with a series of rapid fire questions. So we're going to ask you a question, and you're going to respond with the answer that immediately comes to mind. Okay. Don't overthink it. Jen, you ready?
Do I go first?
You go first.
What's the first app you open in the morning?
Fantastic Al.
The emoji you use the most?
Thumbs up.
That's me too.
Twitter or Instagram?
Twitter for me, but Instagram is a close second.
Breakfast for breakfast or breakfast for dinner?
Breakfast for dinner, probably. I do a small breakfast.
What's the last print magazine you picked up?
Gosh, they're all online.
East or West?
More central, Midwest.
What's something on your desk that you can't work without?
It's really just my laptop. So, you know, that is my work tool and my phone.
Stories or data?
Stories about data.
What's the last song you listened to on your phone?
That's a good question. I don't even know. Yeah.
You stream everything.
A lot of podcasts.
What are you going to tell your friends about Retail Gets Real?
It was a great time. Thank you for having me so much.
We really enjoyed having you. This has been a really interesting conversation. I know I enjoyed it. Thank you for joining us. And thank you, our listeners, for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. We'll post more information about the topics we discussed today on our website, retailgetsreal.com, where you can also find links to other episodes. Subscribe to the show and give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. We're also on Google Play and Stitcher. We'll see you next time. Thanks, everybody.
You've been listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by NRF. For more information about the National Retail Federation, visit us online at nrf.com.